How's it going, guys? This is Garrett Corbening for Locked On Clippers, the official Clippers podcast of the Locked On Podcast Network. In addition to this show, I cover the LA Clippers for Clipperholics, which is FanSided's one and only Clippers blog. You can find me on Twitter at G-A Corpenning. That's G-A-C-H-O-R-P-E-N-N-I-N-G. There you can feel free to send me questions, comments, anything else you feel relates to LA Clippers basketball. So like I said, I'm your new host here at Locked On Clippers. I'm really excited to follow in the footsteps of some two previous great hosts. Excited to talk to you guys, interact with you guys, hear what you have to say about the Clippers. I'm excited to just get started and talk about the thing I'm most passionate about, which is the LA Clippers. So, to open the day, I want to talk a little bit about everything that's happened with the team since the season ended. I'll speculate on whether I think DeAndre Jordan is going to stay or whether he's going to go. Potential targets in the NBA draft, and more. In my second segment today, I'll take a step back into the not-so-golden age of Clippers basketball by talking about Corey Maggette's past and present with the team. Finally, we'll see how things are going around the league, taking a look at some of the ongoing NBA playoff series and hit on a few former Clippers that have been performing well and not so well for the current teams. So DeAndre Jordan, what's his plan? For some background information, just to let you guys know, Jordan has a player option for the upcoming season, which means right now he could opt out of his contract and choose to pursue the free agency route. And I gotta say, the odds of him being picked up by another team are probably pretty high, thinking especially about the Cleveland Cavaliers, who looked pretty vulnerable against the Pacers in the first round. And we also know that the Cavs made a push for DJ on the trade deadline. So a move there certainly wouldn't be out of the question. Probably the most likely team he goes to if he does choose to go the free agency route and the Clippers don't match his contract. If he opts in, Jordan will be due just over $24 million next season, which in turn will shrink the cap space for this summer and lower the chances of the Clippers picking up another formidable starter. But again, assuming he opts out, the Clippers can still offer him a contract, although it might be a little bit higher than what he's asking for. Not a little bit higher what he's asking for, but a little bit lower than what he's asking for. They certainly won't offer him the max or an extension, which is unconfirmed, but still it's unlikely. An aging Jordan with a declining ability in the defensive end simply isn't worth the price that we think he's going to ask for. And that price is pretty high, because you look at it now, and Jordan is the fourth highest paid center in the NBA. And if we're going off of his stats the past few seasons, especially this season since Chris Paul's gone, I think it's tough to make an argument that Jordan is the NBA's fourth best center. But again, Jordan is a fan favorite. He spent his entire career with the LA Clippers. It really wouldn't be out of the question to have Jordan come back. The question there is then is what the price is going to be. It just depends on what the team is willing to offer. If they think there's a better option to fill in for Jordan in free agency this summer, or maybe even in the NBA draft, they could get a young center. And I do want to keep in mind that the Clippers very well could trade up in this draft. With the spots that we're assuming they're going to have, which is pick number 12 and number 13, the lottery's not for a couple of days now, but odds are the picks we're going to have, with Detroit's pick being the 12th pick, Clippers being 13th. But the quality in this draft kind of caps off around the 9th, 10th, 11th spot in the draft, and there really aren't an abundance of talented bigs outside of the top three, top five, many players in the draft. So if Clippers are serious about replacing Jordan, if he does, you know, choose to leave, the potential to trade up and maybe go to someone like Mo Bamba is certainly a possibility. The thing is the direction of the team really isn't known at this point. Tobias Harris is arguably the team's best player. His contract is due up at the end of the following season. And the teams have to make a decision whether what they want to do with that and moving forward and that kind of thing. So what happens this offseason is really going to shape the Clippers team that we're going to come to know for the next few seasons. And I really think that's interesting. I really think it's, you know, we need to place a lot of emphasis on this offseason. And we are lucky because with the players that are going to be available this summer, both in the draft and in free agency, the Clippers have a really good chance to not rebuild, but kind of just build onto what they have now. And if you stay healthy, you have a really good chance at making the playoffs next season, really good chance at making a push, maybe even beyond the second round. So a lot of options. But to go on those options in the draft, I'd like to just go on and talk about two individuals that I am really, really high on in this draft that would both potentially be in our range, and that is Mikal Bridges from Villanova and Colin Sexton from Alabama. Bridges is a swingman. He's a fantastic jump shooter. He shot 43% from three-point range in his junior season, and I want to say 40% overall for his entire career at Villanova, which is a really, really impressive number, even against, you know, lower competition in college. But this Villanova team was one of the best in the nation for the past few seasons here. Bridges made the NCAA championship in his freshman year at Villanova when they knocked off North Carolina in the title game. And just this past March Madness, Villanova again won the title, beating Michigan. Bridges was pretty vital in that game. I think he was the team's second highest scorer behind Dante DiVincenzo. So Bridges is a great player. He's a he has great length for a swingman too. I didn't hit on that earlier. He is 6'7" frame with a 7-foot wingspan. You know, that kind of length is that's kind of what the NBA is moving towards these days with guys like Kevin Durant and you know, Rudy Gobert even, which isn't, he's not a swingman, but that kind of length and you know, longer athletes that have a better jump shot, long, quick, fast guys, like that's the direction we're moving in, and certainly what Jerry West seems like he wants with, you know, trading Blake Griffin and all. So Bridges, I think, would be a fantastic fit. He has really high boom potential and low bust potential. Yeah, I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great player. The only question with Bridges then is going to be if he does slip far enough to be in our range. Like I said, Clippers projected to be picking at 12 and 13. I've seen numerous mock drafts that have Bridges falling out of the lottery. I've seen ones that have him going top five. I've seen most of them have him going 7, 8, 9, 10, that kind of range there. So, you know, there's still a lot of time to go for the draft. We have a little under 2 months now, so a lot of things can happen. He might fall. He might rise up a little bit more. But at the moment, it certainly seems like Bridges is in question, or Bridges is, you know, in that range, especially grab him into, turn him into a great player, future great Clipper. And then Sexton, Alabama, is a point guard. He's an all-around great player, although he will be better on the offensive side of the floor, unlike Bridges, who's going to be a great two-way player. He's probably one of the best defensive players in the draft. Sexton isn't a traditional point guard. He's really explosive, and he's drawn a lot of comparisons to Eric Bledsoe. So to kind of think about what Bledsoe was in college in Kentucky, when he came in and was backing up Chris Paul for those couple seasons there, that's the kind of guy you're going to get with Sexton, although he might even be better than Bledsoe is. So he would fit in extremely well, I think, next to Patrick Beverley. They're both really, really intense guys, and Pat more on the defensive end than the offensive end, but that duo of Sexton and Beverley, for years to come, would be a scary unit that certainly would pose a lot of threat to the higher teams in the Western Conference that are a lot more guard-based than forward-based these days. So like I said, both are going to fall probably within Clippers' range, but there's a chance they'll need to trade up to order to grab one of those two, which begs the question, again, of whether two picks slated on 12 and 13 is better than one top 10 prospect. And as far as that goes, I think there's still time to evaluate the talent and that kind of stuff and find out, you know, which guy really is best with the team, which guy might be a bust, which guy you think is better somewhere else. You know, overrated guys, underrated guys, that kind of thing. The Clippers might even, you know, shock everyone and grab someone from outside of the lottery projections. So you never know. There's a lot of guys on the table right there. Clippers have a lot of needs. So anything really is possible to draft, but I think more than anyone, I'd love to see Bridges or Sexton be picked with those picks right there. Coming up next, we're talking about Corey Maggette, who's one of the all-time fan favorite players of the Los Angeles Clippers. I'll hit on his former Clippers career, his current Clippers career, and his role in Big 3 basketball. But first, I'd like to make a pitch. If your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Clippers is listened to by 98% men, and 80% of those men between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that speaks to you and your business, just give me a holler. I'd love to do business with you. You can email me at gcorpenning@outlook, and that's gchorpenning at outlook.com to get things started. Plus, our rates are very reasonable. It's going to be more affordable than you'll find like a typical radio show and those kind of things. So if that's something that you think would be good for your business, like I said, just give me an email and we can get things started. So moving on, before the end of the show, as we do every day, I want to talk about headlines around the leagues and that kind of thing. Talking about a few former Clippers that have impressed in the playoffs and some who have not. But first, it's time we do a flashback segment. I want to talk about Corey Maggette today. Probably my all-time favorite Clipper and a lot of you guys' favorite Clipper as well, I would assume. Part of the golden but not so golden age Clippers basketball. He was there for the first playoff run, playoff appearance for the Clippers since the early 90s in 2005-2006, that season there, along with Elton Brand, Sam Cassell, Chris Kaman, and of course, Cat Mobley. Maggette was a great player. He spent 8 seasons with the Clippers, which was the most he gave to a team in his career. And he gave the team and his fans his best years of NBA basketball. It was during his prime. He was traded there after his rookie season in Orlando, which was 2000, and then spent the next 8 years of his career there. And while he never made an All-Star game, he was vital, like I said, in bringing the Clippers back to the playoffs in 2006. Maggette is currently an analyst at Fox Sports West and Prime Ticket. He covers the LA Clippers. You can watch him during Clippers pregame, which begins half hour before tip-off. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen that before. Maggette's up there with guys like Brian Sinnion and that kind of thing, talking about Clippers basketball. And currently, Maggette is also the captain of his team, which is called Power, in the Big 3 League. And if you don't know about the league, I'd like to tell you a little bit about it. It's a professional 3-on-3 basketball league featuring former NBA players like Maggette, Chauncey Billups, Allen Iverson, Steven Jackson, Charles Oakley. And you also have some Hall of Fame coaches as well. Clyde Drexler is the coach of Maggette's team. And you have Gary Payton is one of the coaches as well. Allen Iverson's a player coach for his team. It's a really fun league. And Maggette actually plays alongside Cat Mobley. But unfortunately, he played only a few games last season after he was injured, I believe, in the first game of the year with a leg injury. It takes place during the summer on Fox Sports 1. And I got to tell you, from what we've seen on Instagram with his like practice videos and those sorts of things, and also early on in that first game, Maggette still got it. He can still dunk. He can still play. And I'm honestly shocked that he's still not in the league, because certain teams, he's like, you have Vince Carter, right? He's 41 and still plays for the Sacramento Kings. Maggette is that type of guy. I still feel like he could play somewhere if given the chance, but he seems content with what he's doing with the Clippers right now. And so he certainly has a lot going for him. So that'll do it for our flashback segment. And now we'll roll on to our final segment of the show, where we'll take a look at the current NBA landscape and talk about former Clippers players. Starting off in the Eastern Conference, we have the Celtics and the Cavaliers both finish off their opponents in Game 7. The Cavs specifically barely nudged the Pacers in the first round. And while we know this is one of the weakest teams we've seen LeBron lead in his career, it makes you wonder if the Cavs have a chance to make the finals. They're playing the Toronto Raptors in the second round now, who, despite their playoff woes in the past couple years, they're a great team this year. They finished top of the Eastern Conference regular season. And the Raptors give the Cavs a problem. You know, with guys like Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Serge Ibaka, they certainly have a team that's capable of bringing down a giant like LeBron's Cavaliers. It'll just come down to the coaching, I think. And, you know, Dwayne Casey's a much better coach than Tyronn Lue. Casey atop the, not atop, but Casey among the top five candidates for Coach of the Year this season. The Raptors have a chance. And we might see a different finals this year than, you know, Warriors-Cavs for the fourth time in a row now, which is good for some reasons, bad for some reasons, but I'm looking forward to a little change. So we'll see how that turns out. Back to the Celtics-Bucks series there, talking about Terry Rozier. He got the best of Eric Bledsoe, and he absolutely got side of his head, despite what Bledsoe might have tried to tell you. Once Boston took a 2-0 lead in the series, a reporter asked Bledsoe about his matchup with Terry Rozier. At the time, Rozier had yet to record a turnover in 78 total minutes of play, while Bledsoe didn't seem like he had fully even woken up yet for the series. And instead of taking the heat and owning up to his poor performance, Bledsoe simply said who, instead of he didn't understand or he didn't know who Rozier was. Not a good look for Bledsoe, who didn't finish the series very strong, while Rozier is looking like a brand new star for the Celtics and picking up a lot of the weight for Kyrie Irving while he sits with an injury. Sticking in the East, we've seen the 76ers. They handled Miami 4-1 in the first round. J.J. Redick might be the most vital player for the Sixers, which, you know, might sound crazy since they have Ben Simmons, they have Joel Embiid, but you got to have veteran presences on teams like that with young teams. And Redick, who's averaging 20 points per game through six games right now for the Sixers, is doing a fantastic job. But that's enough of the East. So moving on to the Western Conference, Houston Rockets and Chris Paul rolled through the Timberwolves like they were expected to do. Don't really think anyone was surprised by that series turned out, but Karl Towns really just didn't like show up in that series, which is weird. You know, Towns is one of the most promising young players of this current NBA landscape. And to be outplayed by Clint Capella, you know, might make sense in that series, but it's still weird to see Cat be such a no-show and be outplayed by, you know, Derrick Rose of all people. But it is what it is. Cat's a young player. It was the Timberwolves' first playoff appearance in 2003. You know, regardless of how the series turned out, I'm sure people are still happy in Minnesota to see, you know, an NBA team doing so well for the first time in so long. In addition to that, Luke Mbamute made his 2018 playoffs debut in Game 1 against the Utah Jazz. He didn't put up big numbers, but you know he's never been one to show up in the stat sheet. And speaking of the Utah Jazz, Joe Ingles just will not stop making us regret letting him go. The man just continues to prove us wrong with his play, his deceptive play. He's a great, you know, three-point shooter, great defender, fits in great with the Jazz, but man, Clippers let him go and signed Jared Cunningham instead. Like, that whole move there was, you know, looking back at it now, it's, you know, it's great to have Doc Rivers not be in charge of those kind of things anymore. He's just a coach, but really, really messed up there. Really, really blows to see, you know, Ingles doing so well somewhere else. And it's great for him. It's great for him, but man, he would have been the guy that we've been looking for so long. Someone else to fill in after Matt Barnes like that. Someone else who was a great, you know, 3-and-D player for Clippers. The guy we've been needing for so long, just never could really get a hold of. You know, who knows what could have happened had we had him in the past few years. So, you know, it is what it is. There's not much we can do about this point, but looking back, that would have been nice, but anyway, guys, I think that's going to about do it for today's show. Appreciate you guys being with me. You know, it is my first show. There's going to be some kinks to work out, little difficulties and those kind of things. But after a little while, those should even out. And I appreciate you guys sticking with me and listening to today's show. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want to let me know, again, my Twitter, you can catch me there. It's G-A Corpenning. That's G-A-C-H-O-R-P-E-N-N-I-N-G. And coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll take a look at what Matt Barnes had to say about the mentality of Lob City Clippers. I'll dive into the Kawhi Leonard situation, and I'll tell you why Doc Rivers has to come back next season as head coach of the LA Clippers. So thank you so much for listening today, Clipper Nation. Once again, I'm Garrett Corpenning, and I hope you enjoyed today's show. You can find more from the Locked On Podcast Network on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and other online podcast platforms. I'll catch you guys tomorrow.